This morning, we're pleased that several members representative of United Methodist Fellowship will lead in our worship service. Alan Gibson, Beth Collier, and Jonathan Ndanemia are with us this morning for this purpose. I'll call on Alan now to lead us in the call to worship and invocation.
May we now unite our hearts in the Spirit of the Lord. May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you that we are able to attend this seminary in order to prepare ourselves for your ministry. We thank you that we are able to come together today in this hour of worship. We ask that your Spirit be with the speaker today, that each one of us will be blessed by his message. May we depart from this service with the feeling of unity in the body of Christ. I ask that your help be given to each student on the campus to overcome any difficulties he may have. Lord, we just ask that we may praise you and worship you and become united in your ways. We thank you for everything that you have done and will continue to do for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Will you turn in the backs of your hymnals and join me in reading the responsive reading number 524. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples.
For great is the Lord, and great is the earth. He is the interior of all gods.
For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come to his portals.
Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth.
Say among the nations, the Lord reigns.
Will you join us in singing hymn number 1?
Must have to express how glad I am to be called to speak here this morning. I am very thankful to the members of the faculty of this institution, the Students' Council, and the entire student body for all that I have been able to receive since a few weeks I arrived here. My arrival to Wake Forest is my first experience of traveling away from home. And you can understand how difficult it must be to me to adjust to things that are being done here. I arrived a week later than the school reopened, and so I have been trying as far as possible to fit into how things are done. I must have to be grateful to God for the cooperation I have received and the encouragement I have received too. It may be a little embarrassing to you to see me speaking here. In the first place, you could not imagine what I have to say. I wouldn't have been able to be here if it were just myself choosing to be here, because I can't imagine what I can say or in the way I can express it that will be more meaningful and more reasonable than as it could be said by any of our professors and the theologians. Nevertheless, I feel it is God's calling for me to come and speak. I couldn't understand what it meant to be really a Christian until December 1953. Before that time, I had been doing everything I could consider to be what Christians do. I pray, I sang in the church, I teach in the Sunday school, and sometimes I teach in primary school. But I did not understand what it meant and what it means to be committed completely to God and to His care. But something specially happened in my life. I prayed that God would reveal to me what He wanted me to do and what He wanted me to be. And I prayed in a special circumstance that was very prevailing to me, and I had the result by God persuading me. This period of trying to understand what God wants me to do and what He wants me to be. I have found in this practice something that is very meaningful in my life, and that is opening my mind to God and asking Him to do what He would with me. And God's response, God's will has always been revealed to me as persuading me to go on seeking His face and finding it. And I have found this great joy and satisfaction in prayer. I have also discovered in James Montgomery's writing about the meaning of prayer, something that has been very helpful to me. And he says, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the heart, in the breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of an eye when none but God is near. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try. Prayer the sublimest strength that reach the majesty on high. Prayer is the contrite sinner's voice returning from his ways, while angels in their songs rejoice and cry, "Behold, he prays." Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air, his watchword at the gates of death. He enters heaven with prayer. And as I go on in this practice and meditation, I have discovered truly that most of the times I wasn't just kneeling down praying. I wasn't speaking words that could be heard by somebody nearest to me, but I have learned to open my heart and to receive whatever God gives to me. Sometimes we learn of God's miracles happening, miracles that Jesus Christ did while on earth, miracles that are happening here and there. But I think it is necessary that one should understand the miracles that are happening in one's own life daily. And so I continue until this time that I'm here as a student, I cannot explain definitely how I have been able to be here. But I really am convinced that God has chosen to make it possible for me to be here. And it is also through prayer and meditation that I have been able to understand this. Things continue to be happening. I came in here. I happened to go into a room. I happened to have a roommate who has been very friendly. I happened to meet a fellow Nigerian or some Nigerians who have treated me as my own brothers. I happened to stay in the midst of my fellow students who are very desirous to know more and more about me and to help me. I am convinced that nothing else could do all this for me except God answering my prayers. I would say here that this place is a very busy spot. It looks very quiet in comparison to other places. If you go away from Wet Forest to Raleigh, which is the only place perhaps I have known, you can see how busy it is. You compare it to this place, you can see how quiet this place is. It sometimes seems to me that this is a quiet place that Christ has withdrawn us from the busy world to come and get ourselves prepared. And I feel convinced that it is only by coming nearer and nearer to Him that we'll be able to prepare ourselves sufficiently. The task that we are given to do is the task that we cannot do physically. We may do our best, but our physical strength will fail us. It is a task that needs spiritual strength and physical energy. We are getting our physical strength from the food we eat. We are nourished. But how much are we nourished spiritually? And I can see that we can get bored, tired, worn out, and sometimes afraid or worried and anxious simply because we are struggling, or we seem to be struggling as we are doing what we can do. And I feel that it is important that we turn to what prayer could do for us and can do for us. We turn to Jesus Christ. We look up to Him. He has called us to come and follow Him. He knows how weak we are. He knows how afraid we are. He knows how shameful we are and how ashamed of our sins. But He has called us, He has invited us. And it is only through staying with Him, being in communion with Him, meditating day and night, that we will be able to do what He wants us to do. And so I feel that important place must be given to prayer life in this community. I have observed groups of persons praying, individuals praying, and I thank the Lord that He has provided a place where we can worship Him and pray. What can we derive from praying? We will derive joy in performing the task that is hard and difficult. We will derive spiritual satisfaction. We will derive courage. We will have energy. Great men of this world were able to pass through the experiences of life, not by what they can achieve, but by surrendering their lives to Jesus Christ. they discovered more meaning for life by going closer and closer to Jesus Christ. Great men of the Bible lived by prayer and succeeded by prayer. The apostles could do three definite things more than they did other things. They prayed, they united themselves in fellowship, and they were teaching. We are in a world that is seriously changing daily. We are in a more sophisticated world. If those who lived before us were able to pray in their own surroundings, which comparatively might have been better and easier than ours, I feel that we need to pray more in order to belong to Jesus Christ. I have found prayer something that gives me joy, a joy that can never be destroyed. It has helped me throughout. It continues to help me. It has revealed to me that God is always ready to do more than we deserve and more than we ask. If you pray, you will discover the hidden power of God. And this hidden power of God will be your power and will sustain you as it is sustaining me.
Would you stand with me for the benediction, please? Our Lord, that we may discover and claim the power and the glory within us, Lord, help us to pray. Help us to draw ourselves close to you. And now as we leave this place, Lord, take all that we are, all that we are not, and all that through you we have the power to become. And in that going, Lord, may your peace, your love, and the abiding hope in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, remain with us and in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we ask it.